Such was the news of the day. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. It was often repeated when our Lord made his journeys through the land of Palestine on its outskirts. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. What curiosity there was to see him. What eagerness there was to hear him. And what anxiety to get themselves and other friends to be sick, who were sick to be healed by him. His fame was noised abroad everywhere. They would leave their farms to come to hear him. They would leave their workplace to come. They would leave their place of pleasure to be in the multitudes who thronged to hear him. Many accepted him to be the Messiah and the Savior. But you know, friends, tonight, many rejected him. And you know, across our land tonight, in gospel meetings such as this, many will accept the Lord Jesus as the gospel is presented to them as their Savior. But you know, sadly, many will reject the gospel again. I wonder tonight, friend, if you're in the meeting without Christ, will this be another night that you'll reject the Son of God? But we want to have a look at this man, Bartimaeus. And the first thing I want you to notice, we are told in verse 46, that he was a blind man. He was a blind man. And I want you to see that this blind man, first of all, he was in darkness. He was in darkness. You know, we're told that the place where he lived, Jericho, was a beautiful country. In Deuteronomy 34 and 2, it says, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees. And some of the commentators would say that many people would retire to live in Jericho because it was such a beautiful place. But you know, this man, they also tell us, was blind from birth. So this man never had the opportunity to see the beauty of Jericho. He was in darkness because he was blind. He never saw his mom and dad's face. He never saw the sun rising in the morning, or he never saw the moon at night. He wasn't able to play with the other boys and girls because he was blind. And later on in life, he wasn't able to work because we're told that he sat beside the highway begging. And I'm sure if you had approached this man, his hygiene wouldn't be very good. I would say he would be in rags. I would say he would be a beggar practically, because he couldn't work, he couldn't get any money. He only got the money to maybe to get some morsels of food. What an awful state this man was in. He was a blind man in darkness. But you know, my friend, he was in a worse state than that, in blindness. You say to me, Tommy, how could he be in a worse state? You tell us that he was blind from birth. Yes, that's right. You tell us that he could never have seen the beautiful land of Jericho. He couldn't see the palm trees. He wasn't able to see the sun. He could only feel it. He couldn't see the moon. He couldn't see his mom and dad's face. He couldn't play with boys and girls. He couldn't work. He was in an awful state. How could he be in a worse state than that? Oh, yes, friend, he was. He was blind and in darkness physically. But he was also blind in darkness spiritually. He was blind in darkness spiritually. You know, this man, Bartimaeus, he wanted to have his eyes opened physically. He wasn't thinking about the spiritual things. And you know, sadly, across our land tonight, there are men and women in gospel meetings. And you know, they're not blind physically, but they're blind spiritually. They're blind spiritually. And you know, the Bible tells us who has them blinded spiritually. We read in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. Who is the God of this world? The God of this world is none other than Satan or the devil. And he had this man's eyes blinded spiritually. You know, someone has said about this man, his eyes of his understanding are dim. His heart is wrapped up in darkness. He did not even see his sin. He had poverty of pence, but also poverty of soul. You know, this man was in utter and complete darkness, physically and spiritually. You know, the Bible tells us in John 8, the Lord says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, people don't like the light. They want to stay in darkness. They don't want to give up their sin. They want to stay in that sin. And you know, my friend, this little man, he was in darkness. But you know, secondly, I want you to see he was in danger. He was in danger. He heard that the Lord Jesus was coming. He couldn't see if the Lord was near or far off. And I'm sure this little man had heard about how the Lord had healed different people, how he had raised the dead, how he had healed other people, and he knew that this man could help him. You know, he was blind and could not see the danger of missing the Savior. His chance of being healed could be gone forever if he did not meet the Lord Jesus. And you know, my friend, Jesus Christ is passing this way. You may be in danger tonight. You may be blind to the danger that your soul is in if you don't come and trust him as your Savior. I lifted a little book some years ago, and it told the story of two widows who lived in the estate in Balmoral. It was the time of Queen Victoria. And both of these widows, their husbands worked on the estate. Both of them were able to keep their little cottages. They lived close together. And both of them one night had a terrible row. Oh, it was an awful row, and they said things about one another. And one lady walked out of her cottage and went into her own cottage, and she banged the door and she sat down at her fire and she said, I want nothing more to do with that woman. I just want nothing to do with her. And you know, her rage got worse and worse and worse. And she looked at the clock and it was coming up to 7 o'clock. She says, I'll just go to my bed. And she went into bed. And as she was lying in bed, she heard footsteps coming down her pathway. And she heard a gentle knock on the door. She said, I'm not answering the door to that woman. She can knock all night. And then she heard a louder knock. She says, I'm not answering the door. She can knock away. And then she heard a louder knock. And she said, I'm still not answering. Then she heard her walking away. Then eventually she went over to sleep. The next morning she woke up, and like everything, her temper got worse or got less, and she thought about the lady next door, and she said, "We're going to have to go and make up." She went in, she hugged her and kissed her, and she said, "Look, I'm sorry, I'm terrible sorry. I'm sorry you've been a good friend. And listen, I'm sorry I didn't answer the door to you last night." Her neighbor looked at her and she said, I wasn't at your door last night. But tell you who was at your door last night. Queen Victoria was at your door. She came up in a carriage. She got out and she walked down the path. And she said, I heard her knocking on your door, but you didn't open it. And she said, I heard her knocking that wee bit more, and you didn't open it. And she knocked that wee bit louder, and you didn't open it. And she walked away. And you know, that lady in her little book said that Queen Victoria never ever again came to her door. And she said, I want to warn you, whoever is reading this little book, if you're not saved, you're in danger of missing the King of Kings. The King of Kings, who is greater than Queen Victoria, has been knocking on your heart's door. And you have said he's not getting in. And he's knocked a wee bit louder. And you said he's not getting in. And you have knocked a wee bit louder. And you have said he's not getting in. And she says in her little booklet, friend, be careful. Be careful. because he can walk away from you forever. And she quotes this verse, and she says, it says in Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And she said, never again did Queen Victoria come to my door. And she said, my friend, tonight, if you're reading this book and the Spirit of God is telling you that you need to be saved and you don't accept him, you're in danger of missing your opportunity. She says, I missed the opportunity of meeting Queen Victoria. But she said, you're going to miss something more than that. You're going to miss the King of Kings. Oh, friends, this man was in danger. He was in danger. But I want you to notice something more. He had a decision to make. He had a decision to make. You know, when he realized the Savior was coming, the only thing that he could do was cry out. He couldn't read the prayer book because he was blind. He couldn't do anything else, only cry out to the Lord. And we read in the scriptures, he cries out, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. But I want you to see something. He got discouragement. He got discouragement. Those that were standing there told him, keep quiet, hold your peace. And it says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more. He had a decision to make. Am I going to listen to the crowd who's telling me to keep my mouth shut? Or am I going to cry out to the Savior for salvation? I know, my friend, in this meeting tonight, without Christ, you have a decision to make. Are you going to listen to the crowd? Maybe you're afraid to get saved. Maybe you're afraid to tell of your friends who will make fun of you if you get saved. You're maybe afraid of someone else. Friend, you have a decision to make. And Bartimaeus had a decision to make. These men told him, keep your mouth shut. The Savior doesn't want to hear from you. He doesn't want you, an old smelly beggar, sitting by the roadside. Just keep your mouth quiet. But he made the right decision. Because the Bible tells us, he cried out the more. He cried out the more. He had a decision to make. And he made the right decision. He cried out the more. I sung that hymn tonight about burdens that are lifted at Calvary for a reason. There's a man called John Moore, and he worked going round the boats in Scotland, in Glasgow, and he would go in to the boats and he would speak to the captains, he would speak to the crews, and he went in this day to one of the ships, and the captain said, look, I have a young man who's in the Glasgow infirmary. Will you go and have a word with him? And John Moore said, I certainly will. He went and he found the young man and he started to talk to him. He talked about the weather and he talked about other things. Then he brought round about the gospel. And he said, young man, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? And the young man told him the story and he says, yes, I know I need to be saved. He says, but you know, sir, I have so many burdens that I just can't get rid of. And the preacher said to him, I'm going to tell you a story. There was a man called John Bunyan, and he told a story about Christian, how the burdens rolled off. Then Moore told the story about the burdens that he had. The young man said to him, sir, will you give me a couple of minutes of my own? I want to think over what you were saying. The preacher came back, and the young man had a smile on his face. And he says, sir, I've asked the Lord to save me. And John Moore said to him, where's your burdens now? He says, they're gone. They're gone. John Moore went home that night into his house, and he sat down, and as he was thinking of that young man, the words came to him, days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are weary and true. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. He was the man that wrote that verse. Oh, friend, maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you say to me, Tommy, I couldn't keep it. I couldn't keep salvation. Friend, you don't keep anything. It's God, it's the Savior, it keeps you. Oh, friend, make the right decision tonight. This wee man made the right decision. You know, he could have made the wrong decision. He could have maybe kept his mouth quiet and listened to the crowd. But praise God, he made the right decision. But I want you to know something. He got deliverance. This wee man got deliverance. Notice it wasn't the church he called. It wasn't to some religious organization he called. Some of the people tell you if you do good works, if you go to your church, if you pay into your church, if you do this, you do that, you do the other. This wee man couldn't do any of that. All he could do was cry to the Savior. He cried to the Lord Jesus for mercy. And praise God, he was in a miserable state. Praise God, misery is the object of mercy. His own miserable case he brings to the Son of God. But I want you to notice something. The minute that wee man cried, Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy on me. What does the next verse say? And Jesus stood still. Now the Lord Jesus and his disciples, they were on the road to Jerusalem. He was going to the cross. He was making his way to Jerusalem and all that was to happen. But once the sinner cries, Jesus, have mercy on me, the Savior stops and he stood still. And notice something. He commanded the ones who told him to keep quiet to bring him. The Bible says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man and said unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. The ones that told him to keep quiet, now he tell him that the Lord wants him to come. But you know, there's a beautiful thing here, and I don't want you to miss it. It's in verse 50. And it's the perfect type of salvation. You know, the Bible tells us that all our sins and all our righteousness are like filthy rags in the sight of the just God. And what did this wee man do when the Savior called him? The Bible tells us, and he casting away his garment, the old tattered garment, he cast it away, and he came to the Savior. And friend, tonight, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, all that old sin garment that you have on, it'll be taken away, and the Lord will put on a perfect garment on you. Oh, what a wonderful picture of salvation here. You know, my friend, without Christ, your miserable state, your filthy rags and sin was cast away. You need to cry for mercy. And Christ is the only one that can deliver you. As a young Christian, I used to wonder why the Lord said this to this wee man. And Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And as a young Christian, I said, but surely the Lord knows that this man's blind. He wants to see. But my old Sunday school teacher showed me. And he said, Tommy, the Lord Jesus was testing his faith. He was testing his faith. But I want you to notice something else. He got deliverance. Because Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And in 2 weeks or in a month's time, you'll receive your sight. No, it says immediately. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He became a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Not only did he get his eyesight back physically, he got his eyesight spiritually. And he became a follower of the Savior. You know, friends, tonight, child of God, there's a lovely picture here for you too. Do you remember I said this man never saw any face before? He was blind from birth. Who was the first face he saw? The first face he saw was the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, you, child of God, once you die, the first face you'll see in glory is our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. What a story this is about this wee man. He became a disciple. You know, Bartimaeus was poor, but he didn't plead for wealth. There is something that Christ can give us that is more precious than silver and gold. Eyes to see the Lord himself as our own and personal Saviour and friend. This is what blind Bartimaeus saw when his eyes was opened. He saw the blessed Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Saviour. And friend, tonight, if you come and just come to the Saviour and just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Wash me, cleanse me in the precious blood. You know, he will save you. You know, there was a man called Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and he knew all that there was about the Jewish religion. But he came to the Lord Jesus, and right away the Savior said, ye must be born again. But he said, how can I be born again? Do I go into my mother's womb the second time? The Lord said, I'm not talking about the physical birth. I'm talking about the spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Oh friend, the Bible tells us, and the Lord told this man, that except he was born again, he wouldn't even see the kingdom of God. Oh, I plead with you tonight, be like this little man. Have your eyes open spiritually and trust Christ as your Savior. There was a preacher called Dr. Milan, and with this I'll close. He was from Geneva, and he came over to London to preach the gospel. And he was staying with a personal friend in London. And that personal friend's daughter was in the parlor one day. And Milan said to her, dear, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? And this girl took exception to that. And she said, that's a very personal thing. And she walked out of the room. But you know, all week, that question haunted her. Have you got a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? On the Friday, the man was in the parlor. She walked in and she said, sir, I must apologize, first of all, for being so nasty with you. And she said, the answer is, I don't have a personal relationship. She says, but I would love to have. She says, but I don't know how to come. I don't know how to come. Dr. Milan said to her, dear, just come as you are. Just come as you are. That young woman went up to her bedroom, got down on her knees and said, Lord Jesus, I'm just coming as I am, a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Wash me, cleanse me in your blood. And she was saved. A couple of weeks later, she was sitting at her desk and she wrote that beautiful hymn. This woman was called Charlotte Elliott. That hymn that has been used to bring many thousands of souls to the Savior. She wrote, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, but that thy bids me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. And that night she came and trusted the Lord as her Savior. O friend, I would plead with you tonight, just come as you are. Come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior.